Hello, welcome to Bare Naked Politics. This is the podcast for people who want to keep up with the headlines, but who aren't necessarily politics experts. And if that is you, who can blame you? I studied this stuff at university. I've been talking about it for a decade. And even for me, it gets a bit much sometimes. So I understand if sometimes you just want to drop everything and not listen to the news and then get caught up. And that's why this podcast exists. It strips it all bare, puts it all in one place, makes it make sense. I'm Julia Bell, and today we'll be talking about more Westminster arguments around potential COVID regulation breaches, because now not only are extremely high-ranking Tories and government officials being investigated by the police, some of those investigations we now know have resulted in fines, including fines given to the Prime Minister and the Chancellor themselves, but now the leader of the Labour Party has been caught up in this stuff too. And this might seem petty. Lots of you have voiced to me that you think it's petty and that you don't really care, which is fine. But with the greatest respect, this has much wider implications on our entire political system at this point because, well, Keir Starmer, to name one reason, has voiced that if he is found by the police to have broken the rules officially, he'll resign. So our whole system will be affected by what many are deeming a petty scandal at this point, you know, but it's a bigger deal than maybe you even want to think about. So in this quickie episode, I will run you through what we do know of Keir Starmer's quote unquote Beergate scandal, and I will equip you with everything that you need to know if you want to keep up with any further developments, should they unfold, which I imagine they will in the near future. Listen, before we get into it, please make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. You click follow if you're listening on Spotify. And if you could, give it 5 stars, because that means that other people will be more inclined to give it a go as well. Thank you in advance for that. And with that said, pour yourself a beer, if you will, and let's get into it. Okay, so what's this Beergate thing all about? What actually happened? Let me run you through it. If you cast your mind back to the 30th of April 2021, so a bit over a year ago, it's probably all a blur at this point, but you might remember we were still under stage 2 restrictions here in England. And frankly, I had forgotten that because it's all just melded into one mess of 2 years of just awfulness. But that's where we were, stage 2. And Keir Starmer was photographed at that time drinking from a beer bottle through a window the photograph was taken with other Labour Party members while he was on the campaign trail in Durham. That's why you might have seen hashtags on Twitter and the like saying things like hashtag Beer Starmer. It's not wildly imaginative, but it works. Or hashtag beers with Keir. Essentially, he was just seen with other staff enjoying, I think it was a takeaway curry and some beer. But the problem is, like I say, this was during the stage 2 coronavirus restrictions. And it meant that people could not socialise with anyone outside of their household or anyone outside of their bubble. Saying that, it is important to note that there was this kind of exemption that was made for quote-unquote work purposes. And Keir Starmer, when he talks about this, he makes it very clear that, you know, I was there with work. This is kind of part of his defence. And so just 3 months ago, in February of 2022, the police had determined that, yeah, no rules were broken. That beer and curry kind of fall under the exemption of it being for work purposes. And, you know, with the evidence that we have, there's nothing to go off. But then on the 6th of May, 2022, so quite recently, a little under a week before I recorded this, Durham Constabulary released a statement to say, actually, there is enough, quote unquote, significant information that's been presented to them that they are now conducting a full investigation to officially determine if any rules were, in fact, broken. Now, this significant information that they're talking about, this kind of new development, it came in the form of a video that was filmed by students who claimed to be passing by at the time. And to kind of further feed into the scandal of this, I suppose, on the 8th of May, again, very recently, the Daily Mail ran a story featuring a leaked memo that showed that the meal wasn't exactly impromptu, but it had been kind of planned into his campaign schedule. And so that memo does kind of contradict the narrative that Labour have been putting out, which is, look, we were on the campaign trail, we stopped for a bite to eat, what, shoot us, we've had a beer along with that bite to eat. It was part of a work thing, you know. So that's their version of it. But the Daily Mail's memo kind of heightened the scandal around it because it showed that Angela Rayner was due to be in attendance when Labour had initially said that she wasn't there. So that's kind of, these are all the things that are feeding into what I know a lot of you are saying is kind of a petty thing, but I want to just give you all the information that's out there. So again, we, the public, are put in this really shit position of having to decipher for ourselves what, A, what's true and what's not, and B, what's excusable and what's not. You know, it's kind of up to us to decide, like, ugh, are the people that are sort of meant to be at least upholding the rules, are they breaking them? Would we be satisfied with this? If we did this, would we be scolded? And naturally, obviously, you're getting an absolute battle on, you know, Twitter and amongst those who are pro Keir Starmer and anti Keir Starmer. And until we get a kind of official conclusion from the police, I think that's where it'll stay. Okay, so what has Keir Starmer said about this publicly? Well, like I said in the intro, he has said that if he is found to have breached the lockdown rules, he will resign as Labour leader, as leader of the opposition. And he made an official statement on Monday, the 9th of May, where he absolutely insisted that he didn't break the rules. In fact, let me play you a clip. Here are his exact words, promising to resign if he is found to have broken the law, which he insists he didn't do.
I'm absolutely clear that no laws were broken. They were followed at all times. I simply had something to eat while working late in the evening, as any politician would do days before an election. But if the police decide to issue me with a fixed penalty notice, I would, of course, do the right thing and step down.
Keir Starmer there making a statement on the 9th of May. Now, you could look at that and go, well, he must be confident that he didn't break the rules because otherwise he would not pledge to resign. That is a massive risk that he'd be taking if he was worried that he might have actually broken them. However, you could also argue that the real driving factor in him making that pledge is that he could be deemed a bit of a hypocrite if he didn't say that, because he spent the whole time when Boris Johnson was caught up in, you know, a scandal around rule breaks, calling for his resignation. That was Keir Starmer's line over and over again, that you should resign because you broke the rules. So now that he's caught up in, you know, something of that ilk, you could argue that he had no choice but to make that pledge. So maybe there's a bit of both. Maybe he's really confident that he didn't break them. He's confident what the conclusion will be. And he felt like he had no choice but to make that promise. You can sort of decide for yourself, I suppose, where you think the intent lies. But like I keep saying, Starmer's stance has always been that they were working into the evening on a campaign trail. The guy needed to eat. So it was legal in terms of the work exemption thing. And there was nothing against you having a beer in that context. Maybe you might argue that, like, you know, if you're going to go so hard on the Conservatives and on the government, you shouldn't even take a risk. You shouldn't have even, you know, been to anything that could have looked like a social gathering. You should have really, you know, it's up to you to decide how you feel about this. Now, in an interview with Good Morning Britain earlier that same day that he made that pledge to resign if he's, you know, if he's guilty, so to speak, the Shadow Secretary of State for Health and Social Care, Wes Streeting, was really vocal in saying, look, this Beergate scandal, there's nothing to it other than it's a total character assassination by the Daily Mail of Keir Starmer.
What it is, but the police are now doing their work. They'll conclude their investigation, and I suspect they'll come to exactly the same conclusion they did the last time they were asked to look at this, which is there was no rule breaking. And certainly, you know, the Daily Mail tried to present what I thought was a pretty standard memo as some kind of great revelation, but I don't think it really contradicted anything that's been said. Keir's been very clear about what he was doing in Durham. The rules at the time allowed for campaigning. They stopped for some food. That was permitted under the rules. He carried on working. There's no doubt how much hard work Keir puts in on the campaign trail. And I, you know, let the police do their work. I'm sure they'll draw the same conclusion.
Wes Streeting there on Good Morning Britain. And he sort of went on to highlight the difference between, you know, why there were calls for Boris Johnson to resign over his rule breaking and why he is certain that Keir Starmer won't have to. I'll play you that as well.
Well, the big difference is that Keir never denied he was in Durham. It was perfectly legitimate. It was allowed within the rules at that time, bearing in mind these things were a year apart.
Can I just interrupt? We're streeting. He might not have denied that he was there, but the party did say Angela Rayner wasn't there and then had to admit that Angela Rayner was there. So what's the difference there?
And Susanna, that was a genuinely honest mistake. The Labour
Party
held its hands up.
OK, so in some people's minds, that's an honest mistake, as you say. In others, it was a lie. It wasn't true, was it?
Hang on a second.
She was there.
But whether or not Keir and Angela were both there or whether just Keir was there is neither here nor there, because what matters is...
Well, what matters, we're streeting, is honesty...
On substance of the rules, did they break them? And the answer was no, and that's the conclusion the police reached last time.
And also, Keir Starmer told us that...
OK, so that's the Labour stance. Let me sort of give you a bit of the Tories' point of view on this. This is before Starmer made the resignation pledge, right enough, but Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab, who... is no friend of the Labour Party. He accuses Labour of, quote, rank double standards. And that was when he was questioned about this on Channel 4 News. This is, of course, in reference to Starmer, you know, not just being critical of Boris Johnson, but actively demanding Boris Johnson's resignation repeatedly. Let's hear Dominic Raab's words out of his own mouth.
Well, just a quick question for you. Do you think Keir Starmer should resign?
I'm not going to get into all of that. Clearly... there is a big question around the rank double standards he's shown in all of this, but those are questions for him to ask.
Dominic Raab there on Channel 4. I just find it interesting when politicians use colourful language like rank. It's just... my friend Crystal uses the word rank all the time, but she uses it more to like describe, you know, that meal was rank rather than to describe a political situation. Anyway, quite opposing points of view on this whole thing. And then more recently, Boris Johnson kind of... He was goading Keir Starmer in the House of... well, goading's a bit harsh. Teasing. He was teasing Keir Starmer in the House of Commons on Monday the 9th of May with a bit of a jibe at this Beergate stuff. I would play you a clip, but the audio is really crap because there's lots of background noise. So I won't play it to you. But basically, he turned to Keir Starmer as they were walking through the Commons in that kind of procession that they do. And he just said, quiet weekend? With this kind of wry smile, with the full knowledge that it absolutely been a really politically tumultuous weekend for the Labour leader. So, you know, the Tories and Labour don't exactly share the same sentiment on this, nor are they being particularly kind to one another on this. I suppose, you know, that's about as newsworthy as saying that water is wet. Now, one thing that I've been interested in just keeping an eye on lately is how each politician's public profile is doing. You know, how popular are they? Because... for instance, Rishi Sunak, and I did a whole episode on it recently, but he was the absolute Tory golden boy. And then recently he just plummeted and it's been quite chaotic, you know, in terms of his public profile. And then for a while, Keir Starmer, who had not really had, you know, a huge amount of support nationally, he then managed to kind of creep up past Rishi Sunak in the polls. So they've been all over the place. I've just been interested in keeping an eye on it. So how is Starmer's public profile doing amongst all this? Well, as of the 5th of May, the YouGov polling website showed that 53% of, you know, people voting think that Starmer is doing, quote unquote, badly as Labour leader, with only 30% viewing him as doing well. And that poll came out just a day before those local elections, which actually saw Labour do really well and have huge victories in areas. So maybe that poll combined with the local election results and, you know, it just is a bit of a mess. I wonder if it more shows that the public feel a bit lost about who they like. You can let me know, actually. Do you have, you know, strong support for one particular party or one particular, you know, political figure? I'm interested to know because the polls indicate that the public is a bit all over the place, really. And I've definitely seen like some commentary about how this Beers with Keir scandal is awkwardly reflective of the stereotypes of how the parties are linked to class in the UK. And this is not me saying that if you vote one way or the other, you belong in a certain class. For God's sake, that's absolutely not how I feel about this. I think it's way more complicated than that. But it is quite funny that the Conservative Party's first kind of rule-breaking scandal that went absolutely explosive was around a wine and cheese night. And then the Labour leader had this kind of working man's pub classic beer and curry, and these are the two kind of alleged rule breaks that they're both having to deal with. Labour led the Conservatives 39-33 in the latest YouGov opinion poll, and that was taken just before the local election. So it is, I mean, it's interesting that Labour are ahead, and that was reflected in the local elections. I mean, for such a long time, they just could not catch up with the Conservatives, which, considering how long the Conservatives have been in power, you know, since 2010, it's literally like 12 years, it's amazing that Labour are having such a hard time, or were having such a hard time, to kind of outshine them or promise something different that the public could be tempted by. But here we are. We are seeing that creep. And I'm intrigued as to, you know, whether you think that that support for the polls, like I say, 39-33, Labour against Conservatives. I'm intrigued to think, you know, is that just a rebellion where people are sick of the Conservatives and they just kind of looking for another option? Or is it direct support for Labour? I wonder what you reckon the public sentiment is on that. By the way, there's a new way that you can voice your opinions. You can follow a new Instagram account at Bare Naked Politics. It's set up just around this podcast, so we can just talk about politics stuff on there, and it's full of updates and explainers, and we're going to keep uploading kind of helpful content as well as little behind the scenes if you want to see what I look like when I'm ranting away. So give that a follow and share what you think. By the way, I keep mentioning these local elections without actually giving you a rundown of how Labour did against the Tories. So quickly before you go, I can catch you up if you missed it. Basically, you might have gathered Labour did quite well. In fact, they took key London councils from the Conservatives in the likes of Westminster and Wandsworth. However, that doesn't necessarily, I just feel at pains to say this, that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, right, if there was a general election, Labour would win. I think people get a bit caught up in like, oh, the local elections is an indicator of how a general election would go. Not necessarily. I think the two things can be quite separate. And, you know, the polling expert, Professor Sir John Curtis of Strathclyde University, he has cautioned that. Like, look, there's a pattern here because these 2022 results actually kind of match what the Labour Party under Jeremy Corbyn got in the 2018 local elections. And of course, when it came to voting day in 2019, Labour just got a really sucky result. It was just awful for them. And bear in mind as well, the next general election isn't really scheduled for 2 years. It's not forecast to take place until 2024, unless something drastic happens between now and then. So think about how quickly politics moves. Think about how quickly someone can shine or can completely, you know, flatline in the public's perception. We're a long way off knowing if our next government may well be, after a long Tory run, actually a Labour government. We just don't know. So anyway, there you go. There's a nice little windy run through of what's going on in the form of a kind of hopefully about 20 minute bite-sized podcast. If that was helpful, like I say, please subscribe and follow our new Instagram account at Bare Naked Politics. You can also follow me at JuliaBell_X. I hate that underscore X. I made the account when I was like, I think I was like 19, and I just hate that I've got a fucking kiss in my in my Instagram account, and I'm trying to be a serious political journalist, so sorry, but I don't think I can change it at this point. If you know how, let me know. And that's it. Please become a patron if you want to keep this podcast going, if you want to keep getting that content to keep you up to date, then that's the way to do it. The link is in the episode description. And I want to thank Maddie Howard for your help in co-producing this episode this week. It was excellent to have you. Thank you. And that's it. I'll speak to you all in the next one. Goodbye.